Wednesday, July 20th, 2005. This is the House Special Committee on Budget, Subcommittee on Human Services, Public Safety. And today we have work sessions on three bills. The first one is House Bill 2587 relating to Oregon Project Independence. So we'll open a work session on this bill. And members of the committee, we have had an opportunity for this bill to come through our committee before. And then it went out of the committee and went to the floor. I'll make a disclosure in that I was reading the bill, which is a good thing to do, before that happened. And one of the provisions that I thought was in the bill was that this would be that there would be a continuing automatic funding of the OPI fund from the seniors' property tax deferral revolving account, and it wasn't there. Mm-hmm. And it was funny because as I'm reading it, I just kept reading it. It's got to be here somewhere. You know, it's like you look in the back and it wasn't there. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I went to leadership and explained that that which we thought was there wasn't there and it needed to be fixed. And so we brought it back, and the reason it's here today is to adopt -4 amendments which do some clarifications. Would you like to go to any part of this, or go ahead?
Please, Mr. Chair.
Why don't I go ahead and finish with this, since this is a bill that I've been nursing all the way through. The -4 amendments are going to essentially reword the bill, but they are to accomplish the following. One, it establishes the OPI fund, which is a separate fund. Two, the OPI fund will be funded with $14 million, which is the $14 million that we have previously put in DHS's budget for OPI, but it'll come out of there, and it's going to be handled in this bill. And the idea is that if it's in DHS's budget, then the money comes into OPI as it's needed. But if it's allocated to this fund, there will be $14 million in the fund that can earn interest and generate additional funds for the OPI fund before it's needed, you know, I mean, so that the money that's sitting there will be able to generate revenue for the OPI fund. The third is that the OPI fund is to receive $250,000, which will be kind of seed money from the senior property tax deferral revolving account, and that $250,000 will be paid no later than February 1st of next year. Fourth, there will be a continuing appropriation of funds for OPI from this account as needed. And then, in addition, the excess funds that are paid by primarily seniors into the senior property tax deferral revolving account, those excess funds, rather than having those be used wherever they might be needed, like we did in a recent rebalance, they will automatically go to the OPI fund. So since most of those monies come from the seniors, that money is going into the OPI fund where it will be available to help the seniors. The formula that is elected to make that happen says that at the end of each biennium, the accountants will look at how much money was spent in the prior biennium for the seniors' tax deferral program, and then will add 5% to that, so they'll take 105% of the amount that was spent in the prior biennium on, you know, for the seniors' tax deferral money, and that money stays there to make sure that there's funds available for the senior tax deferral program, and that additional funds will go into the OPI fund. And so, you know, from which we can draw to help assure that there is a regular source of funding for OPI. So that is what is intended to be accomplished with the -4 amendments. Mr. Britton, do you have anything to add?
No further comments.
Are there questions? Are there?
So one, how does that work with that fund? Is it, who invests it? How does that work?
So primarily it's, I'll refer to you.
Oh, okay. The Treasury would invest it, would manage
its own, but it's its own fund.
Yes.
It's like a,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Correct.
Would you like a motion?
Yes, please.
Mr. Chair, I would move the A4 amendments to House Bill 2587.
Representative Hansen moves the A4 amendments to House Bill 2487. Is there discussion?
2587.
Excuse me. 2587. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Hansen?
Well, Mr. Chair, did you
want a motion to move it to full committee, or
did you suggest there were other pending on the disability, the disabled?
Okay, no. Let me discuss that. We had two sets of amendments that were to be considered. The ones that we reviewed, the dash A4s, are as they have been described. There was another set that included the idea of having seniors, in addition to the seniors population that would be served by OPI, would also add people with disabilities. And this concept has been discussed throughout the session and has been discussed by me with our leadership repeatedly throughout this process of drafting amendments, and it has been decided that it would be wiser, rather than do too much in one bill, to allow the bill to go through with the dash four amendments and then during the interim review the consequences to the OPI fund of having persons with disabilities become part of the OPI population, but that would not be the thing to do in this session at this time. But we're doing dedicated funding, we're increasing the funding, we're clarifying in a number of ways and strengthening the OPI program, but not to expand its population at this time. And so that is what the decision was on that regard.
I just wanted to ask a question about that. Is that something where the people with disabilities could do the same thing with their property taxes, but that would have to be statutorily changed to add them to that, or would they have their separate instead of a retired or senior citizens' property? Would it be people with disabilities' property taxes?
Presently, this fund allows for people with disabilities also to have deferred property taxes, and about 1 in 7 who take advantage of this seniors' property tax deferral revolving account are people with disabilities. And so some of the money that's going in
is they are already able to do that. Okay.
That's correct. And so that already is happening. Representative Hansen.
Well, would you like a motion to move the whole bill then?
Yes, sir.
Good point. Sure, I would move House Bill 2587 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation, as amended.
Representative Hansen moves House Bill 2587 as amended to the full budget committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Is there objection?
Well,
Representative Hansen.
I would be happier with the disability language, as I'm sure many of us would. If there's a possibility of getting more information to make people more comfortable with the decision, that opportunity would still occur in the Senate. But I think at this point in time, it's important to keep the bill moving.
That's a statement from someone who's been in this process before. And it is important at this phase to keep things moving, and I certainly agree with that. Other discussion? Is there objection to the motion? Hearing none, then House Bill 2587 as amended will go to the budget with a due pass recommendation, and I'll go ahead and carry this one. Okay. With that, we will end the work session on House Bill 2587 and open a work session on House Bill 3108, which relates to human services, which is a pretty broad relating clause, as we will see. Mr. Britton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I have copies of the A. Engrossed version of House Bill 3108, which I can hand out to you. However, one set of amendments that we are considering today would completely change that bill. So it's extra paper. If you want it, you can have it, but I would prefer to hand out the amendments themselves, which completely change the bill.
The amendments will be fine.
Okay. 3108 does a lot of different things, about seven different things, and I will review them as soon as we get the amendments handed out to you.
Indicate that maybe we're not rushing into this. These are the dash 20 amendments. Ooh.
Dash 20.
Yeah.
That didn't stop something.
It has.
No, I want to get my foot about the water. The water connection thing.
In fact, you know what? Mm-hmm. For brevity's sake, I would like to review it and then have you answer questions. Would that be okay?
Sure.
Okay.
Let's go.
Members of the committee, House Bill 3108-20 does eight things. First of all, it helps solve a problem that exists between the state of Oregon and the federal government on how reimbursement takes place for rural hospitals, you know, A and B hospitals. Second, and by the way, that provision has gone through a work group that has involved the local rural hospitals, intermediate hospitals, DHS, and other participants, and they've all agreed to the language that's included here, and I've gone through and compared the language in this bill with that which came out of that work group, and it's verbatim. Two, the Oregon Health Plan has, there is a need to evaluate the number of days that are allowed for recipients to be in the hospitals. And so this gives DHS rulemaking authority to review the way that reimbursement takes place, number of days in the hospital, and that kind of thing on that issue. Number three, it does the same thing relating to prescription drugs. It gives rulemaking authority to DHS to review how we're doing that and to make rules that will deal with prescription drugs. Four, does the same thing for vision. Vision presently is not funded in the governor's recommended budget or in the Senate or House budgets for the Oregon Health Plan Plus. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, things do change. And so it gives DHS rulemaking authority to look at that whole issue. Five deals with dental. Gives DHS rulemaking authority to review and deal with how dental is dealt with in the Oregon Health Plan. Six, it deals with information sharing between managed care plans so that there is a clear legal basis for sharing information with MCOs. Seven, is domestic violence?
No.
So that one is not part of this.
It does this.
The managed care contract periods.
It changes. It allows, again, rulemaking authority for DHS to vary the managed care contract periods.
Okay. All right. It gives DHS rulemaking authority to vary the contract periods for managed care contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's right.
That's fine. All right. Those are the things that are in this set of amendments. Obviously, this is a technical corrections and clarification kind of a bill. There's no known opposition to it, and there's another set of amendments which we can talk about after we talk about the dash 20s. Is there anything else that the dash 20s do?
Just a point of clarification, Mr. Chair, is that with respect to the hospital days, the prescription drugs, the vision, and the dental, the rulemaking authority extends to limiting the services, not simply reviewing those, but actually limiting the services. And it also includes a report that requires DHS to come back to an interim committee and report on the rules that it has adopted to implement the budget.
Okay.
Along the lines of limiting hospital days, prescription drugs, vision, and dental.
Has the Senate leadership approved of this as well? I mean, is this something that is going to be
Mr. Chair,
both House and Senate?
Both co-chairs have listened to me talk about this and are in approval of it. Yes. It has not passed the Senate. This is the first time.
I understand. But I mean, they are on board with
these amendments.
Yes, they are. All right. Are there questions about the dash 20, Representative Pence?
Well, not necessarily about the dash 20, but just the strategy. obviously these are relatively technical, and I can see the importance of the necessity for them. But why weren't they introduced as a separate standalone bill rather than a gut and stuff on the backflow for pension bill, which is a relatively minor issue but still very important to the people that
those are the
on.
Dash 14 minutes. We're not going to let that go away.
Okay.
So
that's
then I'm
just a happy camper.
Okay. This is an interesting. The other amendments deal with backflow plumbing issues.
That's what I was wondering.
Which is near and dear to some of our hearts.
True. And so those are the dash 14 amendments, which will also be moved into the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Of course, it's all about a relating clause.
The Mr. Gist, Mr. Britton, have we done this before? I mean, we're giving DHS the flexibility to just, I guess, we're providing some oversight to them, but it's they're sort of managing the money. They're going to have to, and the services, have we done this in the past? And
Mr. Chair and Representative Wisnett, my guess is that it's simply a guess that we probably have. I think the issue here is that we, in our budget, have assumed reductions associated specifically with the number of hospital days and the number of prescription drugs. We've assumed savings in the budget. Obviously, the dental in particular is still in play in a matter of negotiations between the House and the Senate. The complexity of figuring out precisely what those services or what the number of days ought to be is a matter for DHS to consider when it looks at its budget, looks at the pricing, looks how much it can save. So yes, we are giving extensive rulemaking authority in these particular areas to DHS, and you're correct in saying we're trying to provide some oversight through a reporting mechanism. That's correct. Whether it's been done before, my guess is that it probably has at some point, but I couldn't give you a specific example. 2 years ago, the legislature was very specific about what it wanted included in the Oregon Health Plan as far as benefit coverages and eligibility for those benefits, and this gives a little more discretion to DHS to modify some of those services that were codified last time.
Hold on, Mr. Chair.
Hold on, Rosie, wasn't it?
Thank you. I guess I'm still trying to learn. Okay, given that what you just stated makes sense, or we're okay with that, but how does the money, we're supposed to be looking at the money impact, so what's driving or what's controlling DHS? There's no money in here. There's no amounts of money in here. So is that their budget number is going to, they have to live within that number, and that's what they're going to do?
Mr. Chair and Representative Wisnett, that's correct. For example, the limiting of the number of prescriptions. Right now, we removed about $500,000 of general fund. So their budget has been reduced, assuming that they will limit the number of prescriptions for fee-for-service drugs. And to get there, they need the discretion to be able to modify their rules to make that happen and to get approval from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
And that's a good point as well. Not only do they have to make adjustments, this gives the authority for them to make adjustments to live with what within their means, but those adjustments could have an effect on our waivers with the federal government, so they have to be able to go and deal with those as well.
Last comment.
So
I guess I understand that. It's that I haven't read, and we don't know. I'm assuming that this ties together. It says we're giving you this authority to live within your budget, and you have to make your local rules. And I don't. Is that if that's what that says? That makes sense.
And they have to go back.
Yes, Mr. Chair and Representative Wisnett, the presumption or the assumption is that they will match up their rules to get to their budget targets. And again, they do have to report.
So there'll be oversight. Somebody's got to do it. Further discussion about dash 20?
Can you get your
That's from here. Okay, the chair would accept the motion to adopt dash 20s.
Mr. Chair, I move.
It was that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that the committee move the dash 20 amendments to the full committee, we would do pass.
Actually, to just to the bill.
To the bill, of course.
Okay, Representative Wisniewski makes a motion that the dash 20 amendments be added to House Bill 3108. Is there discussion on the dash 20 amendments? Is there objection to this motion to amend 3108 with the dash 20 amendments? Hearing none. Amendment is so ordered. And now we move to a second set of amendments, which are the dash 14s. Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair, I would move the dash 14 amendments to 3108. I believe they incredibly strengthen the bill.
Yeah, conflict of interest.
No.
President Hansen moves the dash 14s to Senate Bill 3108. Discussion, and as far as discussion is concerned, these dash 14 amendments authorize a small annual fee on water utilities to provide a modest amount of revenue to support the information and assistance portion of the program. Water utilities broadly supported this concept last session in an engrossed version to Senate Bill 343, but the bill failed to pass for lack of time at the end of session, and so that's kind of an overview on it. Representative Hansen?
Well, the reason I'm somewhat facetious in terms of moving this along without... It has been well discussed, and it previously it got to the floor, already to the floor of the House, and the issues are, I think, have been pretty well worked over by other committees well before we got involved with it.
Okay. Other discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, dash 14 amendments are now a part of House Bill 3108 as amended. These are the only two amendments that we have to this bill, so the chair is prepared to receive a motion to move this to a full committee.
Chair.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move House Bill 3108 as amended to the full committee with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Hansen moves House Bill 3108 as amended to the full budget committee for the House with the due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Carry
your Representative Hansen.
Would be pleased to carry.
With that, we end the work session on House Bill 3108, and we'll open a work session on Senate Bill 1088. Mr. Britton, are you ready?
That's pretty wonderful. That strength and strength for prevention.
There's a pretty good chance it's going through, huh?
It just about has to now. With the implementation of the DHS budget writing on it.
It's got a pretty good pull to it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, let's go back and look at it remaining.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair and members, Senate Bill 1088 does three things, and I've handed out a fiscal impact statement, a staff measure summary of the Senate committee proceedings on 1088, as well as a copy of the bill. It does three things. The first thing it does is to give, again, DHS rulemaking authority to modify the prescription drug benefit for dual eligibles, people who are eligible for both Medicare and Medicaid services. The intent here is to virtually eliminate that benefit for dual eligibles, the Medicaid drug benefit, because these folks will now be eligible for a Medicare drug benefit. And as you can see on the fiscal, this is estimated to save about $133.9 million general fund. The second thing it does is, like 3108, it requires DHS to come to an interim committee to report on that rulemaking authority so that the legislature is fully aware of what's going on as far as the rulemaking with respect to eliminating the eligibility, or the not the eligibility, but the services, the prescription drug services for dual eligibles. The third thing it does is that it allows DHS to make liens and claims against the estates of persons who were dual eligible, who received a Medicare Part D benefit, for whom a clawback payment was made on their behalf. And this is estimated to bring in about $1.8 million of additional other funds revenue. And that $1.8 million is already assumed in the DHS budget.
Okay. And this is Senate Bill 1088. This also is a necessary bill that has been approved by both House and Senate leadership.
Correct. That's okay. Correct, Mr. Chair.
All right. Is there any questions of Mr. Britton before the chair takes a motion?
No. We're not proposing any amendments to this bill.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hanna.
Yes. Then I'd recommend Senate Bill 1088 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Hanna moves Senate Bill 1088 to the full House Budget Committee with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Hanna, you carry.
Thank you.
With that, we have completed our agenda. We end the work session on Senate Bill 1088. And without objection, we will adjourn this subcommittee meeting.